your Friday postgame. I'm your host, Malcolm Fleschner. It's and with Friday me night. Today, we have for the first time ever, John Iadarola back from the frozen north. And no polar bear attacks, so whether I don't know if you were betting at home on that, maybe win or lose. But
not that I'll admit to. But then you watch the show, and it's like the Revenant Northern Edition.
Amir Nakui, who was here last week with you, and now he's a return engagement. It's pretty exciting. Yeah. And, of course, our resident member of the Korean Mafia, Steve O. You probably saw him on Aggressive Progressives already, so you know why he's wearing the sunglasses. But if you want to explain, Steve, you can go ahead.
I have a horrible eye infection, and I'm trying to be cool. The absurd thing is I'm walking around because I have a terrible eye infection. It's like dripping tear and cuss, and I have a napkin to wipe it periodically.
It's
disgusting. So I'm wearing the sunglasses more for you and folks around me than for myself.
They're nice sunglasses.
But the funny thing is, people in the office accuse me of trying to don a new look to be cool. I'm like, are you serious? What kind of jackass thinks wearing sunglasses indoors is cool?
He got new boots.
I do. Like it's like its whole plan. He wants to be cool so bad. Not only is he wearing sunglasses, but he gave himself a horrible infection to justify it.
I think you're going.
He's like, I saw him in the bathroom.
Like a method
actor.
He was
rubbing his eyes on the toilet.
Yeah, it's a cry for help.
He's really dedicated to
that. I think you are going for a Dennis Rodman sort of thing because he wears sunglasses indoors.
That's true.
And you're angling to go. Yeah, you're going to go and you want to be the one to negotiate a peace deal with Kim Jong Un.
Malcolm, I'm so disappointed that you haven't already made a I wear my sunglasses at night joke. Corey Hart, something along those lines.
But it's not night, it's indoors, is the difference. But
by the way, so
indoors at night would be worse.
So Jimmy Dore on Aggressive Progressives, for some reason he was like, dude, you look like a badass Asian, right? I'm like, all right, that's cool. And then he was trying to think of badass Asians to make slightly racialist jokes about me. And he was so sad. He was like, that guy. The guy who does karate and kung fu from a long time ago. I'm like, Bruce Lee. He goes, yeah, that one. I'm like, you forgot Bruce Lee's name.
Bruce Lee.
And then the other badass Asian he thought of was Pol Pot.
Pol Pot, yeah, I heard like, that.
Those are the two Asians you get.
Tony like, Ja, that's like, a badass Asian dude.
I was like, come on, go with the Emperor Hirohito.
Jet Li.
Jet Li, right? Someone who's newer and more relevant.
Who was in like the Fast and the Furious show, and he was in a James Bond too.
The first one?
Rick Yoon.
Oh yeah, that's him.
He's from the first Fast
and Furious. He looks like a badass. Yeah. He's like a mean look.
I like the two of the biggest, most popular Asian action film stars are named Jet Li and Chow Yun-fat. And Jet Li is such an awesome name, and Chow Yun-fat is such a terrible name.
No,
in
it's
English,
not.
You know,
that's
translated
a cool
into English.
Name. Chow Get Yun. Your ass beat by Chow Yun-fat. Like
that's
so
true.
Cool.
He's got Chow and Fat in his name.
Jackie Chan is still badass too. Yeah. I mean, he's comic and everything, but he can still kick people's ass.
He's like 58 years old.
And he's weirdly
he can do
conservative.
Like crazy somersaults and backflips and all that. Yeah, you know why? Because he makes money.
Yeah. You know his son like got caught with marijuana and he disowned his son. He's like super anti-marijuana.
He's tough but fair, I think. That's reasonable. All right, so today we're coming to you. I hope you enjoyed today's show. I thought it was terrific. I mean, what a powerful power panel. What, I mean, right? Am I right, John?
It was great in hindsight.
Were you on it?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't think I saw you, but I wasn't sure. But it was really good. But today, as you're viewing on October 13th, 2017, is the 100th anniversary of the so-called Miracle of the Sun that took place in Cova da Iria in Fátima, Portugal, which is what our background image is from Portugal. This took place exactly 100 years ago today, and three Portuguese children predicted in May of 2000 or 1917 that in a few months the Virgin Mary was going to appear in this place in Portugal. So people flocked to there, and this is our images from it. And in fact, many of the tens of thousands of people who were there reported that the Virgin Mary was supposed to perform miracles on that date, and the worshippers descended on the spot and claimed to witness extraordinary solar activity, such as the sun appearing to dance or zigzag in the sky, careen toward the earth, or emit multicolored light and radiant colors. And there's been much analysis of the event from critical, sociological, and scientific perspectives. Critics say the eyewitness testimony was all over the place and was inconsistent, and they proposed alternate explanations, including witnesses being deceived by their senses due to prolonged staring at the sun and then seeing something unusual as they had expected. There's a whole, I didn't read the whole Wikipedia article about it, but it seemed relatively interesting. And it's the 100th anniversary, so I thought I would bring this to your attention. And I know John, as a devout person himself, is probably like, it probably was the Virgin Mary. She probably did it for those three shepherd children, those ignorant shepherd children. But there's also interesting things going on with this, because the government objected to it, because in 1910, the Portuguese government had declared themselves as secular, and they thought this was going to be some sort of reaction against that. And so there were complications and that make the story even more interesting. But it's one of these, and now people, I assume, still go there, and they're probably going there today, as you know, to honor the centenary of this event happening. So I would bring that to you.
I understand their concern that like a big gathering like this could be the sign of bad things to come. Like last year across the country, we had many gatherings where a lot of conservatives went and they thought they saw someone qualified to be president.
Yeah,
like they stared at the sun too long, clearly, like their leader is prone to do. They went mad.
They went expecting to see something and they saw something.
So this morning I got a link on my Facebook direct message from an old friend. We're friends when we were kids, like 40 years ago or like 38 years ago. Since then, we've gone in totally separate directions. So he went on to go to the military. He never went to college, and he lives in a small town in Ohio. And he's a good guy. I like him, and I still have deep affection for him and his whole family. They're very good to me when I was a kid. But he's always been like oddly religious. And when I say oddly, it's that his mom was oddly obsessed with Satan and possession and demons, and it scared the shit out of me when I was a kid, and she would like tell me these horrifying stories. Anyway,
did you believe it?
At the time, I did. I was like, oh my God, I'm so scared. But a really sad thing happened. So he keeps sending me these stupid links where it's based on things from InfoWars and like these crazy conspiracy theories. And finally, I just ignored them for a long time. And finally, I responded to him. I said, look, stop listening to, this is all nonsense. This is crazy stuff, please stop. And I said, and he's a Trump supporter, I said, the Republican Party doesn't give a fuck about you, okay? Unless you're making over $1 million a year and you're gonna benefit greatly from tax cuts, it's stupid to support Republicans. I said, by the way, don't think I'm a fan of Democrats either. They're corrupt and weak and ineffectual, but it's ludicrous for you to support Trump. No response from him. And then he sent me another link. This is the worst, and this is where it connects to this story. He sent me a link of this article that said that if you put this crucifix on your front door, the wildfires in California that are ravaging won't burn your house down. Okay? And then there's a link, of course, in the article, we can buy the crucifix.
Oh, right? Well, look.
So convenient, right? And it made me really sad, because he sent it to me like because he cared, right? He doesn't know that I don't live in Northern California. Yeah. But he thinks I'm under threat of the fires. And he, despite our total disagreement on politics and even my kind of an aggressive lashing out against his links. By the way, I was kind about it, and I even said I would love to have beer with you one day and talk about all of this in person. Anyway, but he cares, he's trying to protect me from the fires. But it made me so sad that he believes that nonsense. Like he just doesn't know. Like he's probably buying crap like that to protect himself and his family from other evildoers or natural calamities.
Like, it's 1,000 years ago.
Yeah, and it's so sad that there are people who fall for it, and it's so sad that there are people who prey upon desperate people who are, willing to believe this kind of nonsense.
Anyway, so the point is that we at TYT have some special Miracle in the Sun products we'd like to sell you today to commemorate the 100-year anniversary. Now, when I think about, but it's not just trying to save you from the Northern California fires, but from eternal fires.
That's right.
And that's the way I still I've known a number of religious people.
They mean well.
But it's hard for me to get my mind around specifically, they're going through lives, if you're Catholic or Christian, going through life thinking that all these people, like they meet me and you and you and you, and they think that we are going to burn in hell for eternity.
Yeah,
they really believe that's going to happen. And on the one hand, how can they really believe that? That's so preposterous. But on the other hand, if they really believe that, if I really believe that and I cared about you, maybe I would be a religious zealot and try to convert you constantly because I felt so bad for you until you said no enough times. And I'm like, fuck him. He can go to hell.
Having people like us burning validates whatever.
I know. I'm talking about the people who are really the, you know, those. That's the hateful. I'm talking about the. I'm not talking about the people who are at the top who are benefiting from this and are the hypocrites. I'm talking about the people at the bottom who genuinely believe. They're the ones who send the money and yeah. not the ones who cash the checks, but the ones who send the checks. And they, you know, they buy into it and they walk around life and it's like going to hell, going to hell.
It's so sad. And you know, I was debating. Do I respond to this guy?
Yeah.
And I decided not to respond, but I was going to respond and tell him, look, do you, okay, there's only one of two possibilities. Either it's true that crucifix will protect you, or it's not true, it will not protect you. If it's not true, well, you're just being stupid, okay? If it's true, wow, that's actually even worse. Like, mm-hmm. what kind of sick God would let you and your family burn alive if you don't pay $17.95 and buy a crucifix and hang on your front door? That's crazy. But, that's even worse. That's not true.
If there are only those two outcomes, let's test it.
Yeah.
Put it there. Try to set it on fire. If it will not burn, if indeed it will protect other things from not burning, we can find that out in 5 minutes. I like fire. I'll do it.
It only works in Northern California.
Let's buy one. Let's do it on the show. Let's test that
shit. But you know, but look, so
it only works in
if you're a religious person, this is what you would believe. You're gonna say you need the crucifix and you need to have true faith. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if your house burns down,
well, I don't have that.
It was because you didn't have true faith. You gotta have both.
You should tell him that you actually already bought like a dozen of them and sent them to friends of yours in Northern California and their houses burned down. So screw him. All right, we got a lot to get to. We're gonna start today by talking about an article I came across in Forbes online, and it was specifically about. It listed 10 things not to do or what to do. It was, you know, workplace advice, what you should and shouldn't talk to your coworkers about. And I thought these 10 items were very interesting and thought-provoking. So I wanted to discuss them with the panel here. I sent them around. I don't know if everybody got a chance to read them. But let's go to the first one, Irma, please. It's from the 10 things never ever to tell your coworkers. The first one is, if you hate your job, keep it to yourself. Look for a new job on the side, but don't tell your coworkers how unhappy you are. It can't help them to know. All right, so first one is don't talk about being unhappy in your job. Does that make sense? Does that seem reasonable? Mm-hmm.
Workplaces can be very different. We are in a workplace where I think that you're probably more likely to be friends with your coworkers. There's a lot of workplaces where that relationship does not exist. So maybe in a place like this, you might feel a little bit more free, a little bit less worried about them backstabbing you later on. Mm-hmm. But in general, yeah, totally agree with it.
Okay.
Well, look, as part of management, my philosophy is that if you protest your job or you kneel, you're fired. Gone. In fact, you should just leave the whole country.
Yeah.
Stay in the tunnel. All right, so what's the number two? There are a bunch of these, and they all sort of revolve around the same basic idea. So it's I want to talk about it.
Do you agree? Can we like go through and ask, like, do you agree with these rules?
Yeah, but I want to go through all of them because there's a lot of them. So I want to go through all of them.
Because I've literally done every one of these.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, yeah.
Of course.
You do.
Yeah. You violate them even if you believe them. All right. Let's go to the next one, Irma. If you are not a fan of your manager or any other manager in your company, don't talk about it with your teammates. If you do, it will be very easy for someone to spill the beans to your manager and put you in an awkward situation.
That Steve guy.
So that's. I mean, it sort of seems like the same as the first one. Yeah. Well, he's not looking. It seems similar to the first one in the sense of don't complain about your job, don't complain about your manager. So what's number three?
No, but we're really fast. I think it's slightly different in that the first one is about overall dissatisfaction, and it might imply to your coworkers that you're not in it for the long haul. Maybe you're going to leave, and that would scare some people. But when you're attacking particular employees, the reason I've always felt like that's something that you shouldn't do is instantly, if you come to me and you are bad-mouthing an employee, my reaction is to assume that you're doing that about me to other people.
Right, but if it's a manager, that's
It's slightly different. But in that case, I would worry about it getting to that specific manager.
Right.
I don't know that in a lot of workplaces you could really have faith that it would be maintained, that they wouldn't spread your secret.
No, and that's part of what they're saying. All right, what's the third one, Irma? If you're job hunting after hours, keep it to yourself. You can tell your coworkers when you accept a new position. Until then, say nothing. So is that a good idea? Like, if you want another job, don't tell anybody you work with because they're going to.
I've definitely done that, but like it's probably a good idea not to tell anybody.
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah, both that and especially if you're doing your job hunting during work, maybe do a better job of hiding
it. The thing is, we work in such a different place than most of these people.
Yeah.
These rules are for.
I've had multiple people ask me, hey, I'm not totally fulfilled here. Can you help me find another job somewhere else? And I've actually helped them.
Yeah.
Well, they're being very honest. Here.
We don't like you either. So we're glad to get rid of you.
Well, yeah. I'll say both Steve and Jenks, as long as I've worked here, they've always held that philosophy. So that's like why I've been open with them.
About it. I mean, it's difficult to judge TYT on these standards because I've worked in places where it's not a healthy environment. People are potentially backstabbing, and then you know there's a lot of tension and hostility. But here at TYT, it's much worse. Actually,
it's really, really worse.
All right, what's number four, Irma? Don't tell your coworkers your personal financial situation, even if they talk about their own budgets and expenses. If you're doing well, people can get jealous. If you're struggling, they will talk about that. When people are bored and unhappy, they gossip. Don't give them anything to talk about. Now, what this is all getting towards, and there are more to come, it seems to me like
all the advice so far is don't say anything to anyone at work about anything.
Shut your mouth. Do your job.
Make no relationships. Yeah. Have no friends. Just keep it in your pants and keep it in your mouth.
Don't talk about anything that's personal.
Workplace.
That's personal or that you know involves your feelings or whatever you know how you feel about the money you make or that compares you anything about your life. You know how much you know that you're suffering. That you have financial difficulties like. We all face financial difficulties. Okay, what's number?
I agree. This is not just for a work thing. I don't understand the ridiculous view that people have that leads them to want to buy things to make people jealous. Like their goal is, I want people to be jealous. Jealousy is a negative emotional state. It's not an. They seem to think it's admiration.
They'll look up to you.
No, they will look down to you. They'll despise you.
I bought this nice Calvin Klein shirt. Do you like it?
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't necessarily preach what I preach.
When
someone comes over and sees that I live in what used to be a garage, there's gonna be some jealousy.
Sure.
When they see my Scion IQ, obviously I'm a high roller, clearly.
Look, it's about measuring your own self-worth, and when you like use material things like that to do it, that's like the only way you can.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, it's probably
I'm gonna tell you something
problem.
That's gonna make you guys totally jealous. This beautiful shirt, Calvin Klein shirt. My mom bought it for me.
Really?
she buys me a lot of stuff.
We've discussed at some length how
are you guys not jealous?
You don't even need to buy shit to do this though. Go look on Instagram. Everyone's pretending like they're having the best lives ever. Yeah. They're going on all these amazing trips.
I think you're right though, John, because when I roll into that party in my 2003 VW Passat wagon with the car seats in the back and the stained interior from the people who sat in those car seats for many years, and I get out of the car and shit falls out as I'm stumbling out. You know, it sets a tone, and I think there's a lot of respect there.
So you joke, but in a couple years, that's going to be a classic car. Yeah.
You guys don't know because you don't have kids, but we both have three kids. And when you have three kids, it is impossible to have a nice car. Yeah. They fuck it up. They're always eating in there. They spill everything. It's impossible. My kids are not just old enough where I could now maintain a nicer car that's clean.
I was one of those kids. Yeah. I used to throw up in every car I went into. Every single one. My dad was just at his
limit. As a point of pride.
Yeah.
He marks his territory.
Yeah.
I barfed a lot.
You're like Harvey Weinstein, but different.
But like with vomit.
Yeah. That's great. Did you not get invited to a lot of play dates and stuff because of that? I mean,
it's fine.
All right, what's number five, Irma? If you feel your job is beneath you, don't say a word. How would it make your coworkers feel if you told them that you and they are stuck in jobs that don't require much intelligence or knowledge? It wouldn't make them feel good because they're not going to know. They would have no way of knowing unless you complain about having to do menial tasks. Yeah. That they're like, wait a minute, you're right. I have a PhD and they're having me clean out the toilets.
Mm-hmm. This whole article seems like it was written by like a taskmaster / HR.
Right. That's what
I'm
getting.
All the employees in line.
Yeah, the point is, I agree
with most of them. This one I think is more on the borderline, but I agree with most.
No, I agree with most of them too because commiseration is contagious, 100%.
They're all objectively correct.
Yeah.
But they are also so obvious.
But they're not from the real world though. This is not how, because people who will interact with each other, the point is basically what they're saying is don't talk to your coworkers.
That's right.
Talk to them just about work.
They're not your friends.
Don't make friends with them. Don't
90% of the stuff that you talk about at work is about how much your work sucks for most people at most jobs, right?
Yeah.
And you get together with their coworker and you commiserate about the shitty boss, the terrible food, the awful parking situation, how you're overworked and underpaid, right? Mm-hmm. That's largely what happens with employees. And this article is saying, don't do any of that stuff.
What this article is going to lead you to, the consequence is that you're going to be ostracized by your coworkers. Because if you never complain about that, you're going to be the goody two shoes. You're going to be the one that everyone else thinks is collecting information and feeding it to the boss. Because you'll listen to them when they complain about the boss, but you'll never complain yourself. You'll listen while they say, "Oh, I had to do this shitty job," or you know, whatever it is, this task I had to do. But you never complain. You're always you're always on time. You know, apple polisher. That's what I think. So what's the next one? Keep mum about your long-term career plans if they involve stepping up and away from your current job. All you can do by sharing your glorious plans is to make your coworkers feel bad about their own limited horizons.
Why do you assume they have limited horizons?
The other thing is, that your coworkers are all they do is all this shit, and you're the only one who's not doing it. It's like, you know what? I think I'd like to be, work in finance, or I'd like to, one day be an artist. What about you? Do you have dreams? No, I love my job as it is, and I never want to leave.
Entry-level position is where I want to be at. For the rest of my life.
Yes, this is what I disagree with.
All right, what's the next one? If you have a crush on a coworker, or if you and they are dating, keep it quiet with your other coworkers until the relationship is solid enough to tell your manager about. If you and your coworker become a couple, tell your manager before they hear about it through the grapevine. The speech is simple. Just walk into your manager's office and say, "Sarah, I wanted to mention something. You know Arnie in a national accounts? He and I are dating. I wanted to tell you before you heard about it some other way." That's all you need to say.
I think Arnie is misspelled. I think it's supposed to say Amir.
Sarah is supposed to be Steve.
So the question is, I mean, obviously, this is something that's personal for many of us. And is the manager ever really the last to know? I mean, is that this is kind of like the kind of thing where your gay friend comes to you and says, "You know, I want you to know I'm gay."
And there was gossip everybody around knows. The office, and he knew, and he tricked me into telling him pretty quickly.
I'm a tricky
guy. With that silver tongue of his.
I thought that's what got.
He's like, "Come on, I won't tell anyone. Just tell me. Just tell me. Just tell me."
And I told everyone.
He's like, "I'm your friend."
He had a tweet
the
ready
next
to
day,
go.
Everyone knew.
And then he went straight to Slack and was like, "Okay, everybody, announcement." So do you agree with that, or is that not realistic? Can you imagine going and telling your boss "We're in a relationship"?
I totally agree. She's like, "Oh no, we're not." Until there's actually feet to the relationship before you tell anyone.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, obviously, but
how about if you tell everyone before there's anything? You're like, "I think I'm gonna date that person." I think I'm gonna get her.
And don't tell any of your coworkers if you're dating. Don't even tell the person you're dating that you're dating. Whatever you do. All right, next. Don't tell your coworkers that headhunters call you all the time. If they do, it's no one's business but yours. And if your teammates aren't getting calls from recruiters, they might get jealous. That would not be good for your team's mojo.
This is so stupid.
Yeah. I've heard a couple of people mention.
What kind of terrible humble brag? I'm so annoyed by all these calls from all these headhunters. I'm so wanted by everyone. Jesus Christ! This is absurd. Who does that?
Some people are really awkward.
Yeah,
they need this sort of advice. That one is the most obvious, I think. But
I get a lot of calls, mostly as student loan officers. But we got two more. I think. What's number nine, Irma? Say nothing to your. This is just silence. The silent treatment to your coworkers about everything. Say nothing to your coworkers when you break the rules at work. For instance, taking a sick day when you're not actually sick, or it will inevitably come back to bite you. I don't know if it's inevitable.
People do talk about that stuff, though. They like the sort of. They think that they have a partner, that they can talk to about that. But you don't know for sure. So some of it is a little bit obvious, but also useful, especially if somebody's going into their first job. They've never worked in an office environment, which can be so different than the sorts of jobs you have as a teenager. It could be useful for some people.
All right, what I've experienced in the past at TYT is people confiding in me, and I'm thinking to myself, why are you confiding in me? Why do you think that I'm on your side with this? Where do you get the idea that? I mean, I've worked with you, but these are all now people who have.
All right, I'll stop confiding in you, Malcolm.
But there are people who, one specifically I think of who would confide in me, and I would think. Okay.
I wonder who this is.
I want to go make
you should prove them right by telling us all the secrets right now.
It's someone who has left the company and we're not
recently.
We're not the friend
they left the past week.
Okay.
No one in the past week. Nothing like that. Last one. Keep quiet about your plans to transfer to another department. Somebody in your work group will have a bad day before long, and that's when they will tell your manager, "Guess who wants to leave your department and hasn't told you?" Okay, so your coworkers, they are just assuming that they are all awful, awful people.
Yeah,
this is like Game of Thrones shit. Yeah. Your office, everybody is looking to stab everybody in the back, and nobody is going to have your back if you complain to them about anything. They're going to be like, "Oh, that's interesting." Yeah.
Have you guys ever worked in a work environment like this?
like we're, this or like this?
No, like no. Kind of like that cutthroaty.
No, type no. Of. I've not. Well, even okay. So I was at law firms that are notoriously in that, you know, like this. However, I don't know. Like I've always been fortunate enough to be surrounded by people that are good, and so I hung out with them, and we'd commiserate. We'd complain about our bosses. It was fine. Sometimes our bosses would complain to us about how much they don't like it there. It was totally fine. I never had any of these issues.
Yeah, I mean, what really this indicates is your workplace. You're living in, you're working. If these are that applicable, you're working in a toxic environment. Yeah. It's awful. It's not your fault. So if you should be following these, but what really bugs me is this is Forbes magazine telling people who are not the kind of people who would read Forbes magazine because Forbes is for the elites for the most part. Yeah. You know how to just be better cogs in the wheel. Yeah. And just, you know, keep your head down, do your job, and shut up. And maybe you're the one who shouldn't have all those lofty ambitions you're always thinking about telling your coworkers about because you're never going anywhere and we're not going to let you out of here. Hmm.
I just think have some humility and don't be weird and you'll be good.
I think it's just Forbes trying to, you know, do favors for its actual readership by telling people who are going to read these online, these listicles online, like, oh, it's the best way to get ahead is just to shut up and make no friends. Because the people you make as friends that you work with can never help you if they go elsewhere somewhere and come back and help you sometime in the future. That'll never work.
Yeah, I'm still in touch with most of folks I've ever worked with. You know, I mean, not all the time, but periodically. And it's because we actually did share, you know, and commiserate at the workplace.
Yeah, right.
That's how you build real relationships. If someone says, oh my God, I can't believe so-and-so did this. Can you believe it? If you're like, I have no comment. I would not impugn the character of anyone around. Like, no, you have to be like, yeah, God, I knew it. That guy's a piece of shit. I knew it, right? And you talk about it and you become friends.
First, you have to shake them down, make sure they're not wearing a wire.
That's right, yeah.
All right, so I'd be interested to know what you guys think about this little listicle from Forbes and whether your workplaces are, you know, the kind of toxic environments that.
That's Shida Shirao. He's one of our old buddies. He's watching.
That's right. So this is the end of the magazine. Just the article just says the healthier environment, the less you have to worry about a stray comment making its way to the wrong person's ears and causing you strife. The worse the environment, the more tight-lipped you have to be with your coworkers. If things get so bad at your workplace that you can't safely talk about much beyond the weather, that's a sure sign it's time to go. So basically, if any of these things apply, you should stop working there. Yeah. But I guess don't tell anybody that you're looking or the headhunters are calling you. Yeah. all right. So I wanted to move on to Weekly World News, which is totally bullshit is our signature segment. But Weekly World News is a fun one too. And I don't think Amir or John have ever played before. No. And we'll show you the intro and then I'll explain.
Let's just go. Let's just do it.
Just do it. Weekly World News. No, I think it's like
some very handsome man from Palo Alto.
Professional voiceover talent. So I scour the globe. Or The Guardian or BBC, and I try to find stories that are interesting or compelling
in some way. Just do it. It's very self-explanatory.
And I turn it into a quiz because to find out how closely you guys are following the news around the globe. So let's go to the first question. Comes to us from where? From India. We know where India is, right? Right.
Our friend Shida Shirao. He is Indian. India.
There you go. Don't talk about that at the workplace.
So is the quiz, is that India?
You're way ahead of the game.
I didn't know India like snakes over and takes that piece of land over there too. That's looks like there's a lot of troubles in that region.
Wait, yeah. That looks volatile to me.
Right.
You think so? You think people are happy over there. On the border with Pakistan? You think there'd be trouble? Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't seem like to me. All right, what's the first question, Irma? On Tuesday, the Indian Supreme Court issued a ruling declaring what? Was it A, that captured Kashmiri separatists can face the death penalty? B, that men having sex with their underage wives can be charged with rape? C, that airport customs authorities can give body cavity searches to passengers suspected of hiding gold in their rectums? Or D, a Taco Tuesday exemption allowing Supreme Court justices to eat beef one day a week? Which is it?
All right, so now you answer D is always not the correct answer. What?
You have it.
Really? Damn it.
You had a built-in advantage, Steve, and you gave away. All right, okay. Do you guys know what your answers are? Hold up your answers. Show the camera. We have answer of B, B, and B. What is the correct answer, Irma?
We know this.
It is B, that men having sex with their underage wives can be charged with rape. So the story here is that from now on, sex with an underage wife, 15 or younger, I believe, will constitute rape, according to the Supreme Court of.
But you can still have that underage wife.
Yeah, you just can't have sex with her.
That's right. That's correct. The age of consent in India is 18, and child marriage is illegal. So you can't actually technically, but the practice persists in many parts of the country, according to Girls Not Brides. It turns out that 47% of Indian girls are married by the age of 18. There are some child brides. So we have a couple of text graphics with this. Marital rape is not recognized as a crime in India, but sex with a child under 18 is considered rape. Under the new ruling, girls who are raped by their husbands can bring charges within 1 year of the offense. So the that was sort of this exception was given to men who were married to their underage wives. You couldn't have sex with some random 15-year-old legally, but you could if you were married to her. So admittedly, there are going to be difficulties with enforcing this provision of the law. Particularly in the conservative rural areas where there is a lot of child marriage or child brides. In 2015, there were more than 34,000 rape cases reported in India, and domestic abuse is even more widespread, affecting 40% of married women between the ages of 15 and 49, and 70% of child brides. So that's just awful. But we have another text graphic here. An analysis of the most recent national census by the Data Journalism Initiative India Spend estimated that nearly 12 million Indian children under the age of 10 were married. The majority were girls from poor rural families with little or no education. The previous legal regime meant a 17-year-old boy who had consensual sex with another girl his age could be charged with statutory rape, while a 50-year-old man who raped his 15-year-old wife was committing no crime. So basically, they've corrected that. But the Indian government. The interesting thing is, it's illegal to have a child bride, technically, but the government has defended making this exception for married couples. The early marriage is deeply woven into the traditions of many Indian communities, though the gauna ceremony, where the wedding is consummated, is usually delayed until the girl reaches puberty. So that's kind that they would wait for the girl to reach puberty before they have, say, the 50-year-old has sex with her. All right, we have one more. A minor girl being abused by her husband will tell her mother, "I'm feeling pain. Sex is uncomfortable. Please help me," said Kriti Bharti, a pioneering activist credited with preventing thousands of child marriages in Rajasthan state. But mothers say, "It's your destiny. You are female, so you have to go through this," which is lovely. So it's going to be difficult to enforce, but there is hope that you have a year to report it, the women or the girls involved, and at least. Let's hope that it begins to change the culture in India in these rural areas. Yeah. But it's a lot of people would suggest that it's really more about economic development and ending poverty in India than it is about this. You can't pass a law that's going to have an impact. But it's just like laws about gun control. You can't you pass the laws, they're still going to do it. So why pass the laws?
Exactly.
Right. I wanted to add, but rape and marriage was recognized in British law just in 1991 and in the United States in 1993. So before that, you could not technically rape a spouse.
Yeah, well, there were debates in California a year or two ago about that.
Well, yeah, there's still some places where some men who don't think it's possible, and some women too, I suppose. But last month, the Indian Supreme Court also struck down a law permitting Muslim men to divorce their wives by communicating the word talaq, Hindi for divorce, three times. You can't do that. You can't just fly to India and tell your wife
talak,
and it's done.
Like Beetlejuice.
like Beetlejuice, exactly. Yeah.
And also, India globally is the worst offender of trafficking.
Yeah,
it's a disaster there. Yeah, my good friend Shailesh Rao, he's Indian, but he's not a sex trafficker.
As far as we know.
Reassuring.
Thank you.
I'm trying to get his attention. There he is. Now he's paying attention. Yeah.
He's like Donald Trump. You got to say his name repeatedly before he's going to pay attention.
And he has short attention span.
Yeah.
Like no more than seven bullet points.
Bullet points. Just bullet points. All right. So let's go to question number two. It's in Colombia. That map looks terrible. God, who did that? Who put that together?
It's just the TV on
this
that screen.
This is after the next ice age.
Oh, okay.
So they'll see it better.
We know where Colombia is. It is. A lot of people don't know that's where the Central America attaches to South America. All right. So this question is as follows: 4 Colombian police officers were suspended after shooting and killing 6 at a protest over what? Was it A, coca plant eradication efforts? B, terms of the recently signed peace treaty with the FARC, C, Colombia's failure to qualify for the World Cup, or D, a proposal to change the nation's name from Colombia to Indigenous Peoplia, which is a reference to, of course, Columbus Day, and it's a terrible, terrible joke. It was the worst I had of the 5. I apologize for it in retrospect. You're all evenly tied. You have 1 each, so let's see what we got. What are we coming up with? We have an answer of B, an answer of C, and an answer of C. What is the correct answer, Irma? Correct answer is A, coca plant eradication efforts.
got it wrong.
There have been stories about the deal recently.
Yes, but the protests, these specific protests, it was about. So what happened is their initiatives to, now that there's a peace deal, and the FARC doesn't control these wide swaths where there's coca production, the government wants to eradicate the coca leaf, which is produced for cocaine, but it's a more lucrative market than traditional crops. So there's this back and forth. And so there was this confrontation in the rural southwestern Colombia that injured 19 people and 6 were killed in Narino province near Tumaco, which is a key zone for coca growing. And but there were conflicting reports about how the people were killed. We have the first text graphic is. The defense ministry said on Thursday that a dissident group of ex-fighters from the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, rebel group, forced farmers to protest against police who were removing coca crops. The dissidents then fired on the officers and launched homemade missiles hitting the farmers, the ministry said.
Jeez.
Okay, so, but turns out not so much. And what really happened, as it turns out, is preliminary forensic tests showed the 6 farmers were killed by high-velocity, long-range bullets, and witnesses overwhelmingly blamed police for the killings. So we have another text graphic. The FARC, which signed a peace deal last year to end its more than 50-year war against the state, long promoted the growing of coca in the region and used the drug trade as a means to finance its fight. In Tumaco, the group attracted farmers from other parts of the country to occupy land held communally by Afro-Colombian communities. The presence of the colonists sparked bitter feuds between the local and migrant communities. So. But it turns out that now that the peace deal has been signed, Colombia is producing more cocaine than ever before. One more graphic. The UN mission in Colombia, which is overseeing the implementation of the peace process with the FARC, said the incident underscored the need for swift action. The events reinforce our conviction at the United Nations of the necessity of giving coca farmers in affected regions all the means to escape the terrible choice between extreme poverty and illegality, Jean Arnaud, the UN mission chief, said. So what we got here is the... one other thing I wanted to add is that the product that's used to eradicate the crops is glyphosate. Glyphosate. There it is.
I made that.
No, it's glyphosate. And so the Americans are actively encouraged the Colombian government to eradicate crops using glyphosate. And what I found out when I looked into this is glyphosate is a key ingredient in Roundup, which is a Monsanto product.
Yeah, big court cases in the past year about that.
So what's happening, what I suspect is happening and is likely, is that at the behest of this major corporation, the United States is encouraging Colombia to widespread disseminate Monsanto products, and by it's the United States government probably subsidizing it. So we are giving our tax dollars to, and people are dying as a result, not only of the pesticide the herbicide, I guess it is, but also now the government is killing protesters who don't want to do it. And this also piggybacks just one more thing on a story we did a few weeks ago about Colombia and how the peace deal, now that the FARC does not control wide swaths of Colombia, before they did, there was no logging going on there. So now a lot of ancient or old growth rainforest in Colombia is being leveled because of the peace deal. So the point is that there's no such thing as good news in this world. Peace deal in Colombia has brought more devastation to the country. So that's the kind of story we love to do here.
Better news? Not good, but
it's a mixed bag. Everything's a mixed bag. There's no such thing as just good news, but there's a lot of stuff that's just bad news.
I'd like to note that I've noticed that there's been a surge in cocaine usage in LA, at least over the past couple of years.
Really?
More people than I remember.
So it's coming back into vogue, think? Or is it cheaper?
Both. It's coming back into vogue. A lot of people do coke. I mean, they always have, but I feel like it's been growing.
Steve, you and I go clubbing a lot. I mean,
after we coke up, we go.
Yeah. I think behind those sunglasses, not a sty, it's just red eyes.
Just fuck up.
Steve in his car, he's got briefcases full of cash and or coke. All right, so that's the good news from Colombia. All right, what's the third story? I think comes to us from Malawi. Which is there in
which is a country you didn't know existed.
Southeastern Africa. Well, I read the offensive Weekly World News note because we've covered it before. But so the question is from Malawi. What is it? Is the UN was recently forced to move staff members out of two districts in southern Malawi after mob violence triggered by fear of what? Was it A, albino witches, B, reports of the dead coming back to life, C, vampire attacks, or D, voodoo economics? The irony being that voodoo economics probably would cause more harm to Malawi than any of the other three combined, considering that they don't exist. All right, do we have our answers? We have A, and C. What is the correct answer?
It might not be A.
The correct answer is C. Oh, Steve-O, vampire attacks.
That's not that scary.
Who's winning? Am I winning?
You're winning so much, you're getting sick of it.
You know, I'm getting tired of winning so much.
See, Steve is notorious. He got 12 answers in a row wrong once,
which is hard to do.
When it's, you know, it's one out of three. Yeah. It's like the odds of that are like one in, you know, 18 million. So what's going on here? So in Malawi, the United States has said it pulled staff out of two districts in southern Malawi where a vampire scare has triggered mob violence in which at least five people have been killed. That is there's a vampire.
I'm going to guess that was not actually taken in Malawi.
That has nothing to do with the story except that it is an image of a vampire. We do have a text graphic. The first text graphic says, so belief in witchcraft was widespread in parts of rural Malawi, and there's been vigilante violence there in the past. But yeah, bring it up, Irma. I'm sorry. These districts have severely been affected by the ongoing stories of blood sucking and possible existence of vampires, the UN Department on Safety and Security said in a security report on the Falambe and Mulanje districts. So this is something like, if you go to work for the UN, is this something you think you're going to have to deal with? Like, we're sending you to Malawi, you're going to do development there, but you might have to flee because they might kill you because they think that you're a vampire.
What I want to know, and I love wikiing stuff like this, is I don't know a lot about the history of the idea of vampires, but I think I know where it comes from and how long it's been around. I wonder, is this a product of like the influx of Euro culture or whatever? Or is it not vampires? It's a more specific thing that we're simplifying into vampires.
I think that it's the latter, and that they have a tradition of believing this.
That's
that goes
similar.
Back. Yeah, the blood sucking in general. So, you know, the idea of something, you know, because there it does exist in vampire bats and you know bugs,
and
obviously.
Vampires.
That they but the sucking of blood, you know, out and
does in Europe doesn't it have like anti-Semitic roots?
I don't know.
That's what I thought I read somewhere.
Maybe. I mean, I'm sure it's been, I don't know if the roots, but maybe it's been applied to Jews or something. But I have one other text graphic with this one, which the UNDSS report said at least five people have been killed in the area since mid-September by lynch mobs accusing them of vampirism. It said mobs searching for vampires have been mounting roadblocks in the district, raising security concerns. So that's why they had to get out. Can you imagine pulling up to a roadblock? And it's like it's a DUI, and you're like,
how do you disprove that you're not a vampire?
You can't. Right?
Well, the question is, these sorts of things one always
I guess
wonders.
If
you die and you don't come back to life, you're not a vampire.
Yeah, that's the only way.
Presumably, if you're stopped at this roadblock during the day, you're probably good.
But that's the thing.
But that's like, you're saying the Western
version
of it.
I know.
But whatever it is, it's probably more like there are people who have their own grievances or their own local issues, and they take advantage of these things.
It's like the Salem Witch Trials. How convenient. My rival is a vampire and must be put to death.
I don't know if you're watching the Vietnam documentary.
I really want to.
I heard great things about it.
Yes, I'm not. I don't know. I'm not watching it. But in Vietnam, they had something called the Phoenix Program, where if your peasants or people in South Vietnam ratted out members of the Viet Cong to the Americans, they would go and grab those people up and then disappear them or whatever. But you know, they got a fair number of Viet Cong that way. But they also got a lot of people who were like, you know, my neighbor, whose land I sort of would like.
You know,
I suspect he's Viet Cong. As would happen.
So that was a concern after 2001 too.
That's right.
Programs.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's always the case with that sort of thing. So, and the other thing I was thinking about with this story is we read it and we think, oh, those crazy, you know, the hicks or, you know, rubes or whatever from these countries where the child brides doing these terrible. And I think, you know, we have all sorts of crazy conspiracy theorists here in the United States. Yeah. And at least we have the benefit of access to information that they don't. And for people to believe that, you know, Sandy Hook was a conspiracy.
Or that a crucifix hung on your door was saved from wildfire.
Yeah, exactly. All this shit.
People don't think the Vegas shooting happened. They think that was a false flag, like already, as soon as it happened.
Yeah.
You know, over the sounds of gunfire. Don't worry, everybody. Yeah. It's just a false flag.
If you hear it, those sounds are just added into the video. Yeah.
Anytime we think we can be superior in how our Western knowledge and information society is so superior, forget it.
People watching this should just Google what percentage of the American population believes in vampires. Like your friend who believes that you can ward off evil by putting a cross on the door, he believes in vampires.
Or angels, and demons. Yeah, that's the same basic sort of
same thing.
Yeah. All right. So where are we going? We're going to Ireland. It's a good thing Cenk isn't here, or he'd say top of the morning to you in his terrible Irish accent. That really, really gets
that
me.
That would.
So what's the question from Ireland, though? That's the question. Protests arose this past week after the Irish Postal Service issued a stamp honoring whom?
Oh, God.
Was it A, Winston Churchill, B, Che Guevara, C, Pope Benedict, or D, Harvey Weinstein? Very ill-timed.
That's too soon.
Too soon?
Too soon. Not soon enough, actually.
Should I have gone with Bill Cosby? It's not D. You're right, Steve. It's not... The first Harvey Weinstein. All right, so we have our answers. Steve knows his answer. Amir has his. We have A, B, and B. What is the correct answer, Irma? It's B, Che Guevara. Amir, you're falling behind. Steve, you're 3 out of 4, right?
I'm crushing it. It's the sunglasses, you know, it helps me to focus.
They make you cooler and smarter.
Like the blinders.
Why Che Guevara?
Because he's part Irish.
Really? It's a little bit misleading the question. The protests were not in Ireland. The protests were in South Florida, and that weren't protests. It was not like people out in the streets protesting, but they objected. The Cuban Americans objected, and so it's the 50th anniversary of Che Guevara's death in Bolivia at the hands of the CIA. There's Che Guevara. This is the famous photo that when it was used for the stamp. I think we have the stamp here. There it is. So it's a 1 euro stamp. So he was killed 50 years ago this year. And the image was, this famous image that is used for the stamp was produced by Dublin artist Jim Fitzpatrick. And many consider Guevara, but in Cuban community, Guevara a mass murderer who should not be honored, according to US-Cuban journalist Ninoska Perez. We have this text graphic for Irma, please. Che Guevara played a key role in the Cuban Revolution that overthrew the dictator Batista in 1959, if you're unaware of that. He was the son of a civil engineer with Irish roots, Ernesto Guevara Lynch. That's his father. Who knew? The stamp's first day cover carries a quote from his father, "In my son's veins flowed the blood of the Irish rebels." So Ireland has long been associated with revolutionary movements around the world. A lot of people don't know that the red, black, and green of the ANC flag. The green initially was intended to represent Ireland.
I didn't know that.
I think it was actually, it's not just the ANC, it was Marcus Garvey with his Back to Africa movement. I think initially the red, black, and the green.
This is a very intellectual show.
Yes.
Very intellectual.
So anyway, but the Cubans are up in arms because they consider him a mass murderer and a killer and so on and so forth, and you know, like Castro and so on and so forth. And there is some question about whether you should be honoring him because of the terrible things he did and so on and so forth. But
he makes cool t-shirts though.
Yeah, but I mean, look at that. That image is so cool. There's no way. All right, but we got to keep going. We keep moving though. Last question comes to us from Iceland. One letter off from Iceland, from Ireland to Iceland. And the question is as follows. Iceland's famous unicorn will soon be auctioned off. What is it? Is it A, a ram with a single horn growing from the middle of its head? B, Icelandic artist Einar Jonsson's most famous sculpture? C, an 800-year-old Viking longship? Or D, the world's largest dildo? It's intellectual, but also family-oriented. Do we have our answers, folks? All right, John says B, Amir says B, Steve says B. It's a consensus, the answer's B, so it's gotta be... Hey,
damn,
a ram with a single horn growing in the middle of its head.
I was worried about that.
I can't believe that's the answer. That's amazing.
Yeah. God damn it. So let's see Iceland's famous unicorn. Ooh, there it is.
Awesome.
It was found earlier this year on a farm.
That horn splits off at the end. That's not a unicorn.
So
you liar. This whole goddamn game has been a sham.
That's true. You're playing under protest. It's named Einhimingur, which is Icelandic for unicorn. It was found among Erla Pori Olaf's daughter's flock with his horns fused into one and became an internet sensation. Did we see the other image also already? So as the Iceland Monitor reported at the time, Einhörninger was destined for the slaughterhouse. Reykjavik Zoo offered to take him, but Iceland's strict animal movement rules meant he couldn't go there, and his sale options were limited. I don't know what those rules are, but presumably they're to protect the animals. And this one's like, no, I'm sorry to protect them. We have to send him off to the slaughterhouse. But it's all right. The animal's future seems a little brighter because he's going to be auctioned for local charities next month. And the owner says that she's kept him out of the limelight since his brush with fame last April when he, I guess, started growing
his
one
horn. So what are they going to do with it?
We have one more text grab. Hang on. He just spent the summer in the fields with the other Rams, but he's a bit of a loner. He gets left out a bit. I don't know if it's because he's different or whether he just chooses to be alone for some reason, Olaf's daughter told Iceland Monitor. They are worried about the ram because he has grown so much, and they're she's concerned that the horn will eventually grow into his back because it bends back and forth, she said. So that's how we play weekly world news. Steve with the victory.
Crushing
three
victory.
Out of five. No, crushing, two out of five and one out of five. That's all right. Right. You'll be back. Dang. In the future. You'll do it. Did we see the second image of the ram? Because I want to look and see if not the text graphic, the image of it.
It's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at
the
it.
Horn is going into the back. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's like a crowd behind him that he's facing away from.
Yeah.
He looks very pensive.
Yeah, the question is, whoever buys them, are they not going to eat them? I mean, that's good. You're eating a unicorn.
I heard unicorn is delicious like, this time of year.
Unicorn blood John, you're a nerd. In Harry Potter, doesn't sucking unicorn blood that the
extends life?
Yeah, yeah. So maybe if you're superstitious and you're Icelandic and you are a vampire, you should be.
Andrew Fogel's in Iceland right now.
Yeah, yes.
Honeymoon.
Yes.
Maybe we should ask him to stop by.
Yeah, he's bidding on mythological creatures.
Get a selfie. Get a selfie for us. All right. So thank you guys for we got to go. We have weekly world news stuff to get to. Totally bullshit to get to that I'm sorry we're not going to have time for. Edwin, we can't do it. You're telling me we can't do it? We can't go like 10 minutes? 10 more minutes?
Who says no? Who says no to 10 more minutes of Friday post game?
We should probably wrap it up.
Yeah, that's the Bernie quote. We can't have 5 minutes. You can't give us five more minutes. Who's in charge here?
Do you say no?
I got five minutes.
Oh, they're so generous.
All right.
So show us the intro, Irma. Thank you very much. We begged for it. We got it.
It ends so abruptly, I feel like.
Steve, last week Steve gave me credit for putting that together. I did not. I can barely put these graphics together.
I loved it when I first saw that.
Tim Collins did that, actually.
I would have guessed it was a Tim Collins.
I'm not going to give him credit for it. I'm going to give you credit for it.
That's a Tim Collins joint. So, all right. So, this is we only have time for one. The way we play Totally True or Totally Bullshit is I will put forward a proposition, and then we'll debate. Is it totally true or is it totally bullshit? And the most important thing to remember is that we don't do nuance. Just like George Bush, it has to be one or the other, and then we proceed to do nuance. So the question is as follows. I'm going to bring us the first one. It's the one about Harvey Weinstein, if there's any question. Do you have it? Is it there? The Harvey Weinstein revelations will lead to wider accusations of sexual impropriety that will soon bring down many more important Hollywood power players. Totally true or totally bullshit? I am going to put this to you first, newbie.
I think it's totally true.
John Adderall says it's the dam is burst. Yeah. It's coming.
Yeah, well, because you need two things. You need there to have been sexual impropriety, which of course there is amongst the powerful people. Maybe some of the actors, but definitely the producers and stuff like that, the directors. We know that it's out there. And hopefully, after there's some more justice in the Weinstein thing, some of the women who have been targeted by it will feel a little bit more secure in coming forward, which has stopped them in the past because of fears for their for their reputation, their career, and all that. And so they will probably feel a little bit more able to come out. The guys are out there who have done it. That's all you need. The dominoes are gonna fall.
Totally true or totally bullshit?
Totally true, I guess. But like it's not gonna happen that quickly. It's gonna happen over a longer period of time. This problem is so widespread in Hollywood. I can't imagine just top players across the board all crumbling at the same time.
All right, Steve, what do you think? Totally true or totally
I think it's totally true. In fact, it's happening already on NPR today when I was driving in. I was listening to
it. You mean yesterday?
Yesterday. They had a whole segment on it. They said, if you have been sexually harassed or you witnessed it in the industry, call and share a story. And people are calling it like crazy, left and right, like crazy. Yeah. And they're saying, they weren't identifying names on the radio, but they're saying, yeah, there's a very famous director that I work with, everyone knows his name, and he totally sexually harassed my coworker, who was a female, a guy was telling the story. So these stories are gonna get out, and these stories about Harvey Weinstein are so salacious and disgusting that I think people are kind of empowered to share their stories too. So Yeah, I think it's.
I'm beginning to think he's guilty. I am. I'm hearing some of a lot of the stories. There's a lot of similarities to some of the stories. I'm gonna. So I guess it wasn't a very good one because I'm gonna also say totally true. Although it's if you had said this 3 months ago, be like, no way, it's impossible.
Where do you guys think all these actors that obviously knew that this shit was going down? Where are they gonna fall in all of this?
I think it's gonna be they're gonna pay a price. I mean, they're. I mean, Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. I don't know. Brad Pitt is sort of on. In, you know, even as we talk, you're watching this days after. You know, in between when we record this and you watch it, there may be a lot more that comes out, and this may already be happening, as Steve said, even further. But I don't think it's going to be. But one thing that I want to mention is that I remember hearing a couple of years ago Corey Feldman, the child actor, talking about how he had been molested.
He would get passed around at parties.
And that. But there was one specific one who he couldn't identify. He said, "I can't name him because I don't have the money. He'll sue me, and my life will be over." Uh-oh. And so now I'm wondering if
it's. Look at his Twitter.
Be
Yeah, and one important thing is they said that basically the way they're dealing with this is you molest someone, or you assault someone, you harass someone, they just pay and they make them sign a confidentiality agreement. And now there's talk about getting rid of that legally. Like you cannot sign a confidentiality. So if you're a lawyer or you're a doctor and you behave inappropriately and you have to pay some sort of fee or you come to a settlement with your client or your patient, you are not allowed to sign a confidentiality agreement. They're allowed to tell other people that's a shitty lawyer, that's a shitty doctor. So they might have a similar type of thing where you can't sign a confidentiality agreement, which means they're probably less likely to settle. Yeah. But if they're doing bad things, it'll go to trial and it'll come to light.
Yeah.
So pretend you're in Harvey Weinstein's situation.
I know, I'm a huge power player here at TYT. I do all that shit, so I'm really nervous.
What
I'm
do you
sweating
do
bullets.
If you're him? What can you do? Will you ever be redeemed?
Go to jail.
I mean,
no, you're done. Just take your millions and just enjoy life.
Go to a private island or jail. Yeah. One of the two.
He's gone to Europe for his sex addiction,
he's in
right?
Scottsdale.
Arizona. Oh, he's in Arizona. Yeah. I thought he had gone to Europe. Scottsdale people don't have sex in Scottsdale. So, I think he's gonna follow, I assume, the Bill Cosby route. I mean, especially because it's not just sexual harassment, there's rape allegations, and that's irredeemable. And
he was suicidal yesterday.
I have difficulty mustering sympathy for Harvey Weinstein at all. Although I'm sure as a kid he was probably bullied, and the girls would talk to him.
Maybe
him
and his brother were the biggest bullies. That's how they got to where they were.
Well, no, they turned the tables, and then he was like, "I'm going to take it out on all these." Because you don't do this sort of thing if you're secure. I mean, watch me shower, watch me masturbate into a plant.
Did you see his wife? His wife's gorgeous too. It's all about power. He has like a sick addiction.
Yeah, well, but that sort of gives him an out a little bit. So I don't want to. I'm loath to use the word addiction in this. Like, I'm addicted to telling actresses they have to sleep with me to get roles. It's a very specific addiction. Very narrow. It's like, and you know, all those actresses were addicted to not sleeping with producers to get roles, and he helped them break their addiction to that. Yeah. So, it's probably, it's definitely all over for Harvey, and I agree that I think it's going to be all over for a lot of people, and I disagree with Amir. I think it's going to.
It's gonna snowball, and the
dam has burst. And
let's hope.
Yeah, I mean, but this could be really cataclysmic for Hollywood and real shakeup, and it's a long time coming.
What do you guys think about that whole? Well, I grew up at a different time, and you know, back
bullshit.
In the day, it was okay. And blah blah.
I think a lot of people grew up in a different time. Yeah. They never did that.
No,
I totally agree. Yeah. Like that is such a bullshit weak excuse. Like, in my time, it was totally fine to lynch black people, so I did right. Yeah. Like no, a lot of people didn't do that.
Whose excuse was that?
Well, Weinstein said that he grew up at a different time.
Yeah, when it was sweeping through Fox News, that was very often the defense of males.
Just coincidentally, while this was coming out, Naomi Const our we're wrapping up. Naomi Const interviewed Norman Lear, and it's on TYT Interviews. I think by now it should be. You can watch it. And he was perfectly respectful and genteel with her, and thoughtful, and complimented her on her smarts and all that stuff. And I'm like, he's this 90-something-year-old guy, and she's an attractive young woman. And he grew up in that era, and yet he somehow managed not to just like jump on her. Admittedly, it might have taken him a few minutes to get out of the chair, but nevertheless,
he didn't try. Has nothing to do with the era.
It has nothing to do with the era you grew up in. It's just totally. You know, you don't have to do this. That's not an excuse. But you know. Look, they're looking for any excuse. I'll take what I can get. Thank you so much, everybody, for watching. We appreciate it. Thank you to Irma for the extra 5 minutes she gave us. We love you guys. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. And as always, as we like to tell you here on the Friday Post Game, stay strong.